Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Monster Slayers, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Fizea blesses her new friends. Laffian comes close to death, Ral has an explosive idea, Squash perceives a threat, and Sultana high-fives her wife. After going on another date with Adet, Sultana and the Kobolds work together to fire the cannons on the ship to defend against a creature from the deep. Meanwhile, Laffian, Ral, and Squash deploy a battle plan involving fire and gunpowder. Where did the creature from the sea come from? What are Adet's relationships like with the other deities? And how much longer will their voyage be? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
The fight with the creature from the sea has just ended. You are still on a boat, I'm afraid. What would you like to do?
Ral's going to look over the edge to make sure everyone's on board and no one's fallen off.
Yeah, so you look around, you can still see the two Dragonborn. You can still see those two. The two kobolds who were helping out and making sure that everything was going well and making sure the cannons were doing the thing. They're still on board. The captain and the first mate are still on board. You can't see the carpenter, but you know that the carpenter was trying to fix something a bit further down. And you can still kind of sense, kind of feel like those hammer strikes as they're trying to like board up and fix whatever was down there. Tio has reappeared upon your shoulder. You can feel them like nuzzling the back of your neck and then sitting in the hood of your hoodie. After they managed to set fire to the boat. Fuck's sake, you geniuses. But now you don't have a longboat, so who's laughing now? Yeah, everyone is on board. Everyone seems to be okay. Laffian is coming around.
Laffian's at 4 HP. Yeah. He is laying on the deck with his eyes half open, groaning.
You make, Ral makes eye contact with y'all and makes, like, he is happy that y'all are okay, and then you see his fire disappear that he has illusionary on the board on the deck of the ship. Oh, still, yeah. As he passes out.
Yeah,
I'm giving first aid to Laffian, or the best I can.
No, yeah, I don't need chest compressions, please. I'm conscious. I don't need chest. No, I'm alive. No, excuse me. No. I'm up, goddammit! God damn it.
The kobold twins, because it's like the day and they should really be asleep. This was like very like beginning of the sort of day sort of thing. They walk past Ultana and both of them raise their hands for a high five.
I high five them.
Yep, perfectly in sync, just stacked. You can see them flex just a little bit, but they are knackered, man. This is the end of the night for them. They're hauling around big ass fucking cannons. Yeah, they're fucking done for the day.
I'm gonna heal myself.
Yep.
Is there anything I can do to heal you?
I don't know. I don't know your character.
Absolutely.
I forgot
A lot. All of them.
A lot, yeah. He got knocked out in basically two hits.
two hits took me to zero.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have things in your spell list like Cure Wounds and Healing Word, I think.
Let me just check. I do remember I used some spell slots last time.
That's right, yeah.
You threw bugs at it. You fought bugs with
you
bugs.
You threw bugs at it. It was amazing.
And how then better I had to fight break bugs? My concentration for another spell.
Yeah. You can absolutely heal Laffian up with spells, or you could just tell him to go downstairs and rest up.
Many of us are injured? Can I just use Mass Healing Word?
Possibly.
You would much rather want to cast Cure Wounds and upcast it.
Okay.
So I think Sultana and Raoul were mostly not damaged.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's basically just me and Balance that got absolutely wrecked in that fight.
I'm at half. I got hit for half my HP. Solid.
Yeah, I'm at 24.
More than I'm half, at four. Actually.
Your half is probably like 130.
Well, my half is like 60, but whatever.
Your half is almost Sultana's my entire.
Sultana's just stacked after losing half her.
I also believe, I'm not sure, you do have spell slots left.
I do.
Do you not, Sultana? Oh, no, Sultana does.
Sorry,
I do. What's your point?
I'm going to put it out there that it doesn't appear right now that you're going to get attacked immediately. Wink. So you can, in fact, do short rests so you can use your hit dice to regain your health without losing any spell slots. Now, I'm not saying that you are going to get attacked or have to deal with a situation later. But best to be safe than sorry.
I mean, a short rest does sound to be great. So, yeah.
Yes.
All right, Laffian's just going to sit up and just, can you help me get downstairs? I'm going to lay down for a little bit.
You're saying this to me?
Yes, please.
Sure, I will. Yes.
I need someone to lean on.
I mean, I'm rather small, but sure.
Well, it works with the height. I'll just put a hand on your shoulder. All right.
As we walk down the stairs, I also give you a level 4 cure wounds.
Fuck yeah. All right. Oh, holy shit.
23 points.
Yeah, that helps. All right.
Okay. Gosh, John. What does this healing look like, Vizier? Because I don't think we've seen you actively heal anyone yet.
No. As I'm holding him up, I put my hand on his back and there's a little electric tingle going up your spine where my hand touches you. And I don't know. Are you? I don't think you have open wounds. Yeah. I think you have hits or
broken
something.
Ribs.
Stuff like that.
Internal injuries. I'm sorry. Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, Physia's magic's very much based in that. So yeah, like this little electrical charge just kind of like goes up your spine and just you can feel it working deep within your chest.
you
feel better. Like, yeah.
That's
Did
very
like
peculiar.
That?
I appreciate it. Is my hair standing on end?
Yes.
I can see it from down here, but if you like it, I have another one like that.
I think I'll be all right. No, save your magics.
Okay.
I'm just going to rest, but thank you. I'm just going to sit. I'll sit down right here. All right. Ow. Okay. All right. That was the wall.
You should try getting a rest. Try sleeping if you can.
I don't sleep.
Then do whatever to rest. Whatever you do to rest.
No, that's fair. I forget that. Your people have not really seen my kind. That's all right. Thank you. We do a meditation. It's quite refreshing.
Oh, okay. If that helps you, sure. I think there was another one injured up on the deck. So if you're okay, I will go up and see.
Yes,
they need anything.
The short non-muscular one. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going back up the stairs to look for next spot.
Taking a rest.
Yeah, absolutely. You can run into Squash up there, unless Squash also came down into the kind of like all up deck.
No, but Fizea. Is that Fizea?
Yeah.
Thank you. When Fizea comes back up on deck, like she notices instantly that Squash was like kind of looking around. Then when he finds you, he's like awkwardly breaks eye contact.
What was the I do remember I paid a lot of attention to Laffian during the fight, but do I know what happened to Squash at all?
Not really. Squash kept hiding from everything and everyone. And also, I believe Squash jumped through the illusionary flames at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember.
So
I told
Squash
you
was
to
pretty
get,
well hidden.
To get flour from the kitchen and oil.
Yes.
I got oil, yes.
Yes. Oil arrived. Nothing else did.
Are you all right?
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely not okay. I guess Squash kind of looks very pale. And yeah, you can probably see like kind of veiny damage on his skin where the breath weapon like took some worst of the damage.
You also had that that thing, right, where you got the after effects of taking the drugs, the God's Dream? What was it? The magical something?
Yeah, like magical poisoning. Yeah. So Squash would have recovered mostly from that. We did a bit of a time jump after he suffered the worst of it. Yeah. And after it was, magical poisoning / sulfur. So yeah, like most of that he's recovered from. But yeah, he looks kind of peaky from the fight.
You don't look so good. You should also go down and rest.
Before I got down, did I see correctly that you have healing magic?
I do. I'm the ship's physician.
Surgeon.
Yes.
Sorry, don't let me tell you what your job is.
No, I don't speak the language so well yet. I'm sorry.
Meta-wise, sorry to interrupt, this is the funniest thing. Two non-native English speakers speaking different languages trying to talk in-world in a common language that is actually not their native tongue either. This is... Sorry, I needed a moment to acknowledge that. Continue.
Could you... It's going to sound strange, but could you do that magic, but could you do it slowly?
What do you mean, slowly?
I'm trying to study magic, and I think
you want
I've
to watch
got
me.
A simple grasp. Yeah, I have to see it. Like, I've been trying to do it, and I can't. Squash, like, bends down, and he, like, goes into his pocket for, like, a couple of notes, and he, like, straightens them out and shows it to you. Like, I've been trying to do, like, these hand movements, and they're supposed to channel energy or something, and I can't get it to work, and I...
Well, I'm not sure if I'm the right person to show you, because my magic is very fast and...
If you just try to do it a little bit slower, I appreciate it immensely.
Have you ever seen lightning at the horizon? Have you ever asked it to go slow? Does that work? My magic
no.
is... I mean, I can try.
It's Demi Part 2. There is no
the
slow.
Okay.
I mean, I can do it in small bursts, maybe, like very small. I don't know. I will try. And I take his hand and, I think whichever part of his arms or whatever is damaged and try. She puts out a finger to the parts where she sees some damage and tries to do little bursts of energy, like the cure wounds through little bursts of energy.
Okay, then I need you to cast your whatever level spell cure wounds you wish to bestow upon Squash.
How much damage did you have?
Oh, I took more than 60 damage, so.
Okay, then I give you a big one. I give you a level 4. Oh, wait. Where is it? I have too many spells. No!
Sorry.
Oh, hang on.
Says every spellcaster ever.
No, I first ticked off the thingy, and now I cannot cast it as level 4. No!
Yeah, so you have to do, like, the next level down. That's not a problem.
No, like this. There, 20.
All right.
As Fezzeia begins to work her magic, you see her little cobalt hands just move in little patterns, and you catch just enough of it. You know, like when you watch someone, for example, when you hear someone say a word you've never heard before and you try to say it and you kind of mess it up a little bit, you catch the gist of what's going on. And as you're watching this and as you study and as you begin to realize, oh, there's this and this, and your brain begins to form a picture of what that rune would look like. A little further up your arm, you feel a little bit of a burn. And as you look there, you see a rune that has been formed in the inks that Demi gave you. You now have cure wounds.
Dun,
and Squash is going to attempt to cast that.
So, so for those who want to know the meta, this is the first one of his like new class abilities called Spell Mimic. He can take an action and he can basically store a magic spell that he has seen, but it takes an action. There is a course limit, however many, based on yada yada yada. You know, the usual thing.
We have it all.
Ta-da! You've learned your first actual spell.
Yeah, and I'm going to cast it.
See, it's really hard to follow along when you like. It's just energy coming out in a burst. So, I think Fizea is still trying to explain to you why it's probably not so easy to follow along. And meanwhile, you've already picked up the spell. You're like, yeah, okay, I get it.
It's absolutely not what happens. Like, Squash is listening and following along, and like he's mimicking the hand movements you had been doing. And then I assume or I imagine that like randomly just he does one of the hand movements and you just see like a little spark of magic come out of his hand. Oh. He's just like,
you did it.
I think I did it.
I think so too.
As Squash healed himself 2 points, and I am pretty sure something in the calculation is incorrect.
You're supposed to
have
a modifier.
Yeah, it looks wrong.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'm going to have to figure that out.
Spell casting modifier for Spell Thief is your intellect.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to figure that out. But for now...
Yeah, you can deal with that. I think 2 points is your first casting of this spell, I think, is more than fine.
That's adorable.
It's hilarious. It's not like
you're not proficient at this shit yet.
It's not spell thief, right? Because that's like an arcane trickster thing. It's like level 17.
No, we homebrewed a class we're calling, which is basically Blue Mage from
okay, no, old school. Yeah, all you had to say is Blue Mage, and I immediately know what you're talking about, and I fucking hate it. Thanks.
I think it's...
No, I like it, but I hate it.
Yep. I hate it too.
Mage.
I hate it too.
I don't know. Red Mage would be kind of cool.
You've acquired a spell. Cool. Sultana, it is the day. Do you wish to stay awake with your fellow day companions, or are you going to hit the sack for the day work at night?
I need to sleep. I'm going to get my 8 hours in. Are you kidding me? I went to sleep for like 2 minutes. I woke up. There was a fight. Fuck that.
Same.
Fair. Okay. Ral, is there anything that you want to do kind of initially following this fight?
Ral passed out when his fire went out as a result of him passing out after all of the bugs happened and everything was when he realized everyone was okay and started to calm down.
Okay,
you passed out on the deck?
Yeah, he'll be back. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. You come to and there is the carpenter is like kind of gently shaking you awake. They're using whatever cloth that they've been using to clear up some of your acidic moments aboard the ship. They're using that to kind of like take some of the excess off from around your face. But they're very gently trying to like wake you up.
Raul wakes up very slowly and gives him kind of a weird look. thank you.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Do you need to see the surgeon?
No, I think I'm okay.
Well,
sorry about your boat. Not...
I'm at sea. It's bound to happen.
I build a new one.
Keeps my job interesting. Why I'm here.
We can build
Why don't
a new
you
one.
Go on down and get some rest? You look terrible.
Raul does have a level of exhaustion.
He does. He kind of helps you to your feet a little bit, but he actually doesn't leave your side, even though he made indications that he's going to go fix the ship. No, he kind of, not exactly frogmot, but gently guides you down to where you should be resting because you look terrible. because, you know, you're exhausted.
Yeah, Raul thanks him, is kind of giving him curious looks as to why he's, like, being so nice. Because he wasn't mean before, but he wasn't, like, super, like, warm and helpful as he is being now. it was kind of more just a, hey, do you have wood? Hey, yeah, we're cool.
We're cool, right?
And,
cool, right?
Yeah.
Nice. But, as soon as he kind of gets you into the area, he just very quickly just goes off about his business of fixing the ship.
Raul works kind of a little bit on his project.
Yeah. I can't wait to see whatever you're doing with this.
I don't know, V, I don't know how to... it needs to be done pretty quickly. I imagine the first bit of it got done. I don't know how much longer I need to say I'm working on it, but...
I don't know. I don't know what you're working
on.
Yeah.
So. I don't know how long I spent on
whatever,
the last one.
Whatever feels good for you. Yeah. Whenever feels good for you, I'm happy with those.
I'll say he spent a lot of time on the boat on it. That's why his hands were all messed up.
Yeah. As things settle down, the day goes pretty smoothly from there on. There are no weird bug sea monsters trying to chase you down. There doesn't look like there's a giant island, which I realised much later some of you may have interpreted as a dragon tortoise or whatever the hell it's called. No, none of that weirdness is following or hunting you down. Day passes pretty smoothly. So does the night. And this continues for a real bit. The seas get a little choppy, a little rough, but nowhere near as bad as they were when they almost broke the mast. You see odd creatures here and there, but the captain and the first mate, along with the Laffians, help for navigation. You manage to avoid some of those bigger creatures and find your way into softer, smoother water. It gets cold. You're issued clothing, which makes it easier to work. Keep away that bone-numbing chill. Keep out the water. Shoes with holes in the bottom so that you don't get trench foot. All this good stuff. It's a few days, probably, let's say 11 days since you left harbour. There is a storm. It begins sort of about midnight-ish. Zoltana, you and the twins notice it coming in, and it gets worse and worse throughout the day. It gets very heavy. The waves are so high that they crash into the side and you have to find ways of holding on to the edge or roping yourself on board because you're going to get blown away otherwise. Squash, Vizea, the other kobolds suffering similar sort of things. I'm going to roll a dice. Where the fuck are my dice?
This is
we die.
After. Do we get long rests?
Yeah. It's been a few days. We definitely got long rests.
I need to do my sleepy rolls.
You do need to do your sleepy rolls. D8s, please.
D8s.
Yes, please.
I thought they were D6s, but I'll take it. I always think they're one less than they are.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're on D8s.
Yeah, because last time was D10s, and then you fucked up your one roll.
Yeah, because you did it again.
Oops, I did it again. I rolled an 8.
You're fine.
Okay.
And another one.
Super fine.
The other one is 4.
And another one.
7.
You're fine. I think we're about on
I will
the correct
take
number
my
of days.
Exhaustion level away.
Yes, please. So, long rest buttons, you should get all your spells, all your things back.
Yeah.
Squash, you are still spending a lot of time trying to learn how to basically magic.
Yes.
It helps. We can start giving you stuff a little bit more rapidly now, but you are learning magics. You're learning the difference between the different schools. However, this is where I need my dice. That's why I wanted to roll. Basically, this is day shift or night shift. Squash, you're basically, I'm going to say for safety's sake, you're kind of like roped into the crow's nest.
Okay.
It's super windy up here and there's a lot of rain. It's that kind of really cold driving rain that just like soaks you in half a second. This is unfun weather. Far off in the distance, you spot two islands. They come off at about, you notice one and almost instantly you notice the second. They're about the same kind of rough size, you would think. There are two islands and they are a fair distance apart from each other, but they appear in your eyesight about the same time. There is, with your 28 natural perception, I'm not going to make you roll, this is stupid. One island looks like it's covered in a thick growth. There are what looks like fairly big, sturdy trees, and they'd have to be in this wind. They are moving, but not a whole lot. You notice that this particular island, the sides are very, very steep, so from this distance, unless the other side of the island is much easier, i.e. it comes down to a beach, there's no easy way of getting onto this island from the boat. The other island itself looks like there are signs of habitation. There looks like there are defences up against the storm. There are walls here, and there's obvious signs of life. There is a signal fire that is clearly being magically kept alight. And from your perception, from what you can see far up, high, far away, you can see that it is clearly throwing light down upon what looks like, in between those waves, rocks, acting like some sort of very, I guess, a very, very basic lighthouse. This is what you see from where you are. You're a little distance out.
Yeah. Squash is going to quickly notify the rest of the crew that can actually move around. and he's going to make the point, like, starboard and...
Port is left side, starboard is right side.
Let's just do left and right, please, because I have bad enough... I personally have bad enough times with left and right. Please don't add port and starboard in. I will just lose my mind. So just we're just going to do left and left, left and right, please.
Left and other left.
And I'm assuming the...
Left and
I'm
left,
the
thank you.
Same thing, the island on the left is the habitated.
Yeah, we'll go with the island on the left being the habited, inhabited one, and we'll do the right island on the right, the one with which is steep and has trees on.
Yeah. So Squash is gonna quickly signal to one of the crewmen that can actually move about, and he's gonna point to the left one and like, there's a lighthouse or something on the left. There's an island coming up. It looks like there are really bad rocks in front of it.
I'm going to say those of you on the day shift, you can just about hear Squash yelling this over the like high winds.
I think Fazea is standing also
loud.
On deck.
Yeah, absolutely. Day shift.
Yeah. Near the captain somewhere, and she would shout to the captain, I think the one with the lighthouse is where we need to go. I'm not sure though. When I was last here, my captain didn't want to go there. But I think we should go to the one with the lighthouse.
We need to be careful, though. Rocks!
<That's true>.
the captain looks down at you and they say, are you sure? Is there something you got shipwrecked here before? Why did the captain not want to go here?
I don't know. He was trying to avoid the island with the lighthouse and then... We came across some rocks, I think. People were thrown overboard. It was very stormy at that time. And I don't know. We had all our hands full just keeping the ship afloat and maneuvering through the waters. Like, we don't know where the rocks were. They are under the water.
Right. Right, okay. Thursday, I'll go below and pick up the pick up our night shift, get them up, and we'll get our ways across. The rest of you, not that anyone else can understand, but from like Rel, they start indicating that you need to secure yourself down, that you need to go down and help like turn various things and like trim the sails and get the things going in a different direction. You're going against the wind, and this is very difficult. The two kobolds and Zoltana are also awakened.
Laffian's going to run up to the captain and say, if I can tell you where the rocks are beneath the waves, would you feel confident being able to navigate it? If I can pinpoint where they are?
He nods.
Okay, in that case...
you have the thing where you can talk in other languages, right? I'm not losing my mind.
If I activate it, I could.
Yeah, otherwise he won't understand you.
Then yes, I will spend the 5 psi points and make it so that he can understand me.
Good.
And I don't have to concentrate on it.
Unless you want Raul to translate.
Yeah. You could save the psi points and have Raul translate.
No, because we need to have precise, direct conversation. Otherwise, there might not be time. Especially if I'm going to be telling him where rocks are and everything. Okay, so he's going to use the psi points, and he's going to make it so that he can talk to the captain. Yep. The captain understands him and everything. And then Laffian's going to first tie himself with rope to, like, somewhere near the captain so that he doesn't go fucking flying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to sit down cross-legged next to the captain, and he's going mm-hmm. to use his phasing eye ability.
Okay.
Basically, he's going to begin concentrating, and the third eye on his forehead opens up, and the eye pops out and begins floating and then goes straight through the deck and then underneath the ship. And he's going to basically be calling out where he can see rocks while the captain maneuvers.
Okay. You do have dark vision. I assume that's going to extend to your little your movement. Because it's kind of dark under here. It's ocean. there is a big ass storm going on. It's difficult to see. But with a combination of your directions and his, I will allow him to have advantage on steering the ship to the island.
After I get the twins up, can I assist with some spells?
yes and no. Okay. So Laffian's already given an advantage to get to the island, which has worked out exceptionally favorably well because they were both 17.
Yay!
on the dice, so...
Hooray, my ability worked.
The captain gets the boat as close to the island as he deems safe. Going too much further would mean probably running the ship aground because of, you know, you don't actually want to put the ship up on the beach. That's real bad. You're not too far from it, but you can see now that this magical fire is being tended to by a couple of very tall humanoids. Squash, you would notice, and you're probably the only one who noticed, that they're walking a little... like they're not used to walking on two legs. That makes sense. Their movement is a little janky, let's put it like that. There's like 3 of them around this fire. You notice that as you get closer, the buildings, the defences that are built up here, they're not as solid as you would have expected them to be from so far away. Like holding up against this storm... they're too thin. They would have blown down. This storm is ridiculous. Like, Squash, you jump in the air and you're going to get blown. If it wasn't for this rope and you holding on, you'd be overboard already. The same with the kobolds. There is something not right here.
Yeah, Squash is going to quickly convey, I've got a bad feeling about this kind of style. Squash is going to just convey, like, there's something, this is not right, This is fake. It's made to look intense, but it's fake.
What do you mean fake?
I think this might be a trap to lure us into an unfavorable place.
I don't know. I just remember that my old captain was reluctant to going to that island. I don't know why. That's all I know.
I think your captain might have been a very clever man, or with guts to trust. I think these creatures, whatever they are on the island, they're not normally bipedal, I think. I think they're pretending.
Captain, would we be able to go around the far side of the island?
He indicates that it's definitely possible that you could, like, I guess back the ship up. I don't know how ships work. You could turn the ship and then go around the island a little bit further, yes.
Raw does Teo time.
Okay.
I could, like, run up to the island if I wanted to. But then I'm afraid that they could swim.
Teo has true sight, right?
He has very good sight. Let me look at what sight it is.
Of course, everyone has good fucking sight in this game.
He has blind sight, not true sight.
Blind sight. Okay. Not as quite as exciting as I'd wanted it to be. Okay, no problem.
Perhaps he has true sight while he is in the stocking.
Maybe his other form. As you, as the boat begins to turn so it can begin to make its way around the other side of the island, perhaps investigating more, you're kind of making your way around the other side of the island away from the other one, away from the, what looks like the uninhabited one. As the ship begins to move around and Teo takes flight towards the island itself, as you get aboard, as you begin to fly over the island, you notice that suddenly everything is very different. The storm is much, much less on this island. And as you fly over the ground itself, the illusion of all of these walls, of all of these fires, of habitation, just disappear. And what you see are there are creatures here that are using their front limbs to pull themselves towards the sea. And you can see that the bottom half of them are more like seals or fish than bipedal creatures.
Oh, good.
Ooh.
Sirens.
Oh, they're scary.
I like it a lot.
They don't look super scary.
Is the illusion dispelled for all of us, or?
No. Only for Teo.
Okay. All right. Ooh. Cool.
Okay. Yeah, Raul doesn't know what that is. He does tell you what he sees and that it's super weird. they're hiding some crazy stuff they're probably doing. Because, Raul confirms none of that's real.
Is Raul telling us all these things?
Yes.
Okay, Laffian's going to start helping the captain get the ship to go faster.
Ship go fast? Fast go ship.
Ship go Neum. Please. Neum, please.
The ship can't actually go much faster than it already is. It's in treacherous water. The rocks below are pretty jagged, and the wrong wave at the wrong time will have you smashing into one of those. He can't rush this process.
Okay.
And as he begins to turn the ship and decides, you hear him yelling to the others that they are going away from this island. They are not staying here. They're not going around the other side of it. The description of these creatures is something that they are fairly familiar with. They don't want to be here, but they're kind of in bad water. And the captain turns to look at Jarl and says, I need you just to watch out and defend the ship.
God, are we going to be attacked again? Ross gets nervous.
From what I've heard of these creatures, yes, they lure people to their island, we get stuck here, and then they attack en masse and take us down to the seas with them. They are looking for their old mates or new mates, I don't really know, but they usually come with swarms of other small creatures. We have to be careful. Keep an eye out.
Okay.
Okay. Raw passes his acid check and then runs.
Thank you.
Down to Raw thinks that he can help with wood stuff, so I guess he just runs down to find the carpenter and help him do some carpenter stuff. This is where I can help
defend the ship. Okay. Leaves.
Okay. I'll take that into consideration.
He's gonna look for things. More boats to throw into the water and explode.
So there was one longship.
Have we not built another one that I could blow up yet?
No. That's a lot of wood. There was one and you blew it up.
We need to stop and get some more wood.
Yeah. Well, there's an island, another island covered in wood if you want it.
Crazy.
Oh, no. Okay. So Raoul is going to go down and help out the carpenter maintain the ship. What are the rest of y'all doing?
I'm tying myself to the central mast. I am not getting my ass yanked underwater.
Fizea is standing at the rail and just looking like across to that island where Raoul has indicated that there's the creatures. Just to make sure that in case something comes through the water towards us, I'm ready.
Okay. I will hold that in mind. Yes. Squash?
He's not hopeful, but he has his hand crossbow hoping that, like, I can account for the wind. But I've tied the gut on top of the boat and I ain't getting off. Like, this is the time I roll a natural one and my luck feat doesn't save me and I just go flying off into the ocean.
No, that's not going to happen. Okay, and Zoltana?
You've been woken with the twins.
I'm awakened.
I don't
know what I'm doing.
Zoltana!
Jesus Christ. You may be awakened, but are you woke?
You are awoken to the news that these kind of humanoid top half creatures with either seal or fish-like bottoms are on this island, and they seem to be luring people here. And your captain is very rapidly trying to get you guys out of this dangerous water. This is what you're awoken to.
Oh, okay. Are they singing?
Well, interestingly enough, they would be. But y'all are a little bit too far away and the wind is too loud.
Good.
So these things are going to be swimming up to our boat, right?
Yes, you would assume.
Okay. What Raoul does with the wood person, his wood friend.
Is barricading himself.
Is barricade myself in here. Then. Look, I go down with the ship, okay? That's honorable,
first
right?
On the ship and then get to the heart of the ship.
No, he's gonna take whatever wood, whatever sandally thingies you said that they gave us. We have like
the shoes,
yeah.
Shoe stuff.
We have like shoes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a bunch of nails through those and then run on water.
Wow, I will deal with that problem later. Yes, Zoltana, you can very easily find something to stuff your ears with if wax is what you are going
to
go with.
I'm gonna go around and try to get everybody's ears stuffed. I know what the fuck's going on. I know what's going on.
Okay.
Yes. Casey can definitely know what's going on.
You're right. No, does Zoltana know what's going on? God damn it!
Yeah,
I hate
that was
when I fucking
basically
know.
Gonna be my question. I'm gonna need you to make a history check or a survive. No, history check. That's I think that's the only thing I can really ask for.
Right.
You.
I don't want to meta this.
Yeah,
that's fair.
As much as like it's easy to find, but you need to know it.
What about history?
Yes, please.
Well, that's a 4, so I'm going to say Zoltana has no fucking idea what's going on. And it's just like, oh my God, half seal people? That sounds cool. they're luring people to their island. That's not good. How can I help us get away faster?
Row.
You can make sure that they don't distract the other sailors.
Okay, so Zoltana's going to go around and if she sees somebody getting distracted, she's going to thwack them.
Okay, thank you.
Thwacking action.
Zoltana is on thwack duty.
Side Swaction. Question, did Raoul just invent cleats?
Water cleats, yes.
No. Water cleats, yeah.
Water
cleats, no.
Water cleats.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Raoul's
right going to
play the best game of water polo.
I mean, you had crampons when you scaled that mountain.
Yeah, you're right.
As the boat begins to actually turn or actually make its way very slowly away through these rocks, using the things that they have done basically all of their lives, Squash and Fazea, what you notice is, Fizay, you notice that there are three or four disturbances in the water. They seem to be heading in the direction of the ship. They'd be attacking from the side or behind. Squash, what you notice much higher up is you notice that there are these kind of disturbances in the air. There are probably half a dozen of them that you can not easily spot. Yes, you have 28, but holy shit, this is a storm and these things are very small. They seem to be making their way towards the deck and they are moving at incredible speed. The ones in the water, which Fisher can see, is just moving at, you know, what you would expect, really. But these tiny creatures, these tiny things that are disturbing the air, are moving very rapidly and it's very difficult for you to see them. What you two spot.
Are they like mite-sized or are maybe small birds? Okay, I guess what I'm wondering is, like, if I shoot an arrow at it, am I basically like throwing an arrow out of water claiming I'm killing the ocean?
No, you're not attacking like a swarm of flies or midges or anything like that. No, okay. These things, like, if you try and get a better look at it, your best guess would be, I don't know, size of a seagull.
Squash is going to take aim at one of them and he's going to point out to
Fizay.
Fizay. Like, he's going to point out the, like, flying bird things. And he's just like,
yep.
What are those things? And he's, like, training his bow at it. Hand crossbow.
I don't know. I have another problem over here. What are those things? And I point out the things in the water.
Yeah. And on that beautiful note, I'd like you to roll initiative, please.
What's the deal with all these seagulls?
Water cleats. Water cleats.
Do they belong in the water? Do they belong in the air?
Now, the water cleat question, you are going to spend at least one turn making these.
Aww. Oh, shit.
And then I will allow you to enter the water, okay?
Oh, shit.
Okay, I have my wood maker friend helping me.
Okay, well, no one's surprised by that one.
Very excitedly.
Okay, let's go first with Ral. What did you get?
19.
Okay, Lafian?
Also 19, but Ral's speedier boy.
Yep. Fizia?
16.
Squash?
18.
And Sultana?
Season 2, once again, the season where I now have the curse.
The roll 20 class.
1.
Oh boy.
She was looking in a completely other direction.
Well, to be fair, Zoltana is paying attention to the other sailors and making sure they don't get distracted.
Also, she just got woken up. She was sleeping.
Yeah. Like, give Zoltana a break, man. All right. So all the sailors are basically not going to be involved in this. They are going to be too busy trying to get your asses out of the fire.
We didn't start the fire.
All right, so creature type 1. Oh, they did good.
No, stop.
Yes, they did.
No, stop.
Fizay, what is your dexterity bonus?
+4.
Jesus.
Okay. You get to go before they do. Oh, blimey. Okay, Ra, top of the round. You and your competent friend doesn't seem very convinced that shoving nails through your shoes are a good idea. And they pretty much don't want to give you the spare nails, but it's your funeral, so far as they're concerned, and they allow you to have access to the tools and the nails that you need. It's going to take you an entire round, and that also includes your move and your bonus, because this is so dumb and also
dumb.
Amazing.
It's very good.
It is amazing, and I love it.
You're going to get us killed.
But Neil.
Why? Why?
Neil.
Why would I wait for them to get to the boat if I can keep them off the boat the best I can?
Yeah, no, that's it's a solid plan, but it's going to take you time to do that.
One round.
So, yes, you can do it, but it's going to take your entire round. You are making this, and then we can go from here next round. I allow this.
Okay.
This is amazing, though. I love it so much. Lafian.
Hello.
You are tied to the mast.
I am.
You can hear Squash and Fezzea shouting and talking about creatures in the water and somewhere in the air. And as you look to where they are indicating, you can see these kind of very fast-moving, small bird-like looking creatures about the size of a seagull, but not actually a seagull. They have different names.
Are they alive?
They are very blurry to look at. Like, you look at them and you can't ever see them. You know, like, if you take a photo and it's just blurry, uh-huh. You can't really see what the original is. This is what you're seeing all the time. And to be fair, Squash, you're seeing exactly the same, even with your ridiculous sight. There are about six of them.
How high up are they?
They're probably about 20 foot off the deck.
All right. Are they, like, pretty clustered?
Not massively.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would I be able to hit them all in a 60-foot cone?
You're tied to the mast.
I don't need to go anywhere.
I just don't want to stand in the cone.
I mean, it's aiming upwards.
You'd be able to get four of them.
Four of them? All right, good enough for me. I'm going, Lafayette's going to look up, see that he can't really focus enough to target, so he's just going to broad stroke, psychic blast the area.
Okay.
They need to make intelligence saving throws.
Int saves. They're not bad at those.
DC is 18.
Okay. Two passes, two fails.
Okay, so for those that fail, they take 24 psychic damage, because apparently I got four ones in that damage roll. Because why wouldn't I?
Then
the others take half, which would be 12 psychic damage.
Okay, I just need to read up on one ability.
You fool.
Because they're not just seagulls, yo.
They retaliate with psychic attacks of their own.
Unless, of course, I cast Mind Blank on them.
They're not seagulls, they're seagulls.
I hate it.
That's why they all scream V, because that's the worst kind of psychic damage.
I just hate the idea of, like, seagulls with psychic powers so they can laugh in your ear from further away.
And then you're just bleeding out your eardrums.
Oh, God,
I love it.
Great.
And the little red thing on their beak is like an emerald they focus their spells through. Oh, I hate it.
Okay, and then also as a... because I never use it, and I really should.
Okay.
I'm going to use my Shield of Faith thingy I got from the mountain.
Oh, very nice. Who are you using it on?
Myself.
Okay.
So I'm just going to give myself a plus two bonus to AC, because, Laffian's a little scared after that last encounter.
I don't think tying yourself to the boat and then raising your AC makes the boat harder to destroy either.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just don't want to be pulled overboard, and I also don't want to be hit.
Okay. This shimmery kind of like effect just happens all across your skin as you you gain a plus two to your armor.
I protect myself.
Okay. Alrighty then. So that was Lafayette. Squash.
So there are these flying bird-looking motherfuckers.
Yes, there are.
Cycles.
Oh, God. Would you say that they are... what's the word I'm looking for? Less than 60 feet away from me?
I honestly don't know how tall masts are.
Tall.
I mean, if they're 20 feet off the deck, masts are usually, I think, like 40 up or 30 up, so probably. Should be within range.
Yeah, let's say like you're 30 feet away from them. I don't know. I honestly don't know how tall masts are. Like,
well, what kind of ship is it? Is the real question, because it depends. Like,
it's a main ship.
A main mast is usually something around like 179 feet.
What?
Holy shitballs. This is like 100 feet. I feel comfortable using a nice round number. Thank you, Casey.
Of course, I'm talking about like ships in the like 18th and 19th century because that's really like the only things I know yep, about. But
that's as close to a ship. Thank you for your historical knowledge, Casey.
Thank you.
Once again, you make my life easier.
Thank my dad for this making 100 foot table. Watch Mutiny on the Bounty 300 times.
Thank you, Daddy Casey.
Sorry for wasting our time. I have sharpshooter with feet, which lets me fire at long range without disadvantage, so it doesn't matter. I have 120 feet range.
Yeah, I'll say, however, for like moving forward, we'll say like the crow's nest is like 100-ish feet up. Like, hand wave it.
Sounds fair. Squash is mostly tied to the crow's nest somehow, and he's going to try to angle his like bow out of the crow's nest so that things don't know where he is. And he...
I'm going to say, for the sake of brevity, you're not going to need to roll or hide. You just can. Like, you're so high up. You are, like, small in comparison to, like, what's... But, yeah, like, you're just going to be able to hide. I'm not going to make you roll that. It's just... You're going to be able to do that as your bonus. No rolling needed. You just hide.
And then I'm going to take a shot at one of the cycles.
Okay. Do you want one that's mostly injured, partially injured, not injured at all?
Partially injured.
Okay.
There we go. And of course it like clicked three times or something stupid.
Oh. What? Okay, well.
Oh, hey. Well,
gross.
Look at that. Well, look at that.
What is it, Aethar? What is it?
Oh my god.
What did you get, Aethar? What did you get?
It's a critical. Oh my god. And you know what that means, V? I get to roll my sneak attack damage twice. But don't worry, I rolled so many ones. Oh my god, there are so many ones for that.
You aged the target on a crit? What the fuck?
Yep.
That's terrifying.
Well, mm-hmm. It is the hand crossbow of the time thief.
If you age a seagull past how long seagulls live... B, what's your call?
It
there?
Just dies. Okay. Yeah, like it. But it's the same as if we age Squash to 120, he'd be dead.
Now I'm gonna live forever.
No, you're not. Okay, Squash. Please tell me the damage. Tell me the frost damage. Tell me the extra effects that are going on here.
All right. So, on a critical hit, the arrow flies through the air with extra force, and mm-hmm. I do 51 piercing damage.
Okay, sure.
On top of that, I rolled real bad on my frost damage, and I only did 4.
And then what?
And then I age the target 3d10, which I realized I rolled wrong. So, I don't know how old cycles get, but I just aged this one 16 years.
They grow up beard.
So, okay, so what else happens? Anything else happen with this crossbow?
Yes. On a critical, the crossbow gains more aging damage and more frost damage in future hits.
Fantastic.
So I will modify my stats accordingly.
Thank you. It also takes a minus 1d4 to all of its attack rolls.
Yes.
Because it's been aged.
Well, you actually just wrote all rolls, but it is your homebrew monster, so...
You are 3 points off of killing it. How does it die?
Jesus.
Oh, I think definitely just, like, the arrow just goes flying through the air, and it doesn't even look like it pauses, but one of the, like, disruptions in the air just kind of... Like, just takes a weird trajectory and just goes in the ocean. Like, you don't even know what the hell happened to it. It just goes off.
Okay.
Was that jerky that you just threw in the water?
And some kind of tea thingy?
It looks old and wrinkly. dried meat.
It did not. You could not tell what happened to it.
Oh.
It's too blurred for you to figure out how much it aged and whether it died from aging or falling out of the air.
Are those blurs or
are they
wrinkles?
Blurry because they're fast or are they blurry because they're naked?
They're blurry because they are fast.
All right.
I'm not entertaining this conversation anymore. Squash. Yes. What do you want to do with your bonus?
Hide.
Okay, you can hide. Great, good job. Anything you want to do with your move?
No, I'm tied to a mast, so I don't go away.
Good. Good. You're not, like, tied so that your waist is tied around the mast. Like, you have a little room. The same with Lafayette, like, tying yourself directly to the mast is not a smart idea.
My assumption is that we have or know some kind of a nice knot or harness thingy. So yeah. It's, like, relatively easy to untie yourself.
A sailor's knot.
Yeah, and y'all also did spend some time learning how to tie knots and do the things, and Lafayette, you've spent some time learning how to acquire that knowledge mm-hmm. through your mystical means. So, yes, you would all be competent-ish at this. Okay, thank you for that, Squash. Fizea.
You're welcome.
How far away...
You see one of these, like, blurry creatures just hit the water.
Does it fall onto the head of one of the creatures that is in the water?
No.
Rube Goldberg.
How far away are all these creatures from me?
The three creatures that you should be concerned are about 40 feet away.
Okay. I think I can do nothing about them right now, so I'm going to cast Bless on the three people on deck. Sultana, Squash, and Lafayette. And then I'm gonna hold action Thunder Wave in case those creatures get in my range.
So you can either cast Bless,
okay,
or you can hold your action cast Thunder Wave. Yeah, you can do either or.
I think Bless is better right now because reasons.
Okay.
Wait, do I need to roll anything or do I just say, here you have this?
You can just click the Bless button. Okay. And then obviously mark that off as having a spell that you've used.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Technically, Squash and Zoltana are kind of out of range, but fuck it.
Are they?
The Storm Lord knows no range.
Well, Squash is like 100 feet in the air.
Whoa.
I'll hand wave and say, yes, that's fine. Like, through whatever bizarre magical means, a strange side effect of your... kind of magic brand and the weird electricity.
Gods of the storm, bless my companions even if they're out of my range.
Yes, exactly, this happens. My god, do I feel like she and Demi are related? Holy shit.
One's fire, one is lightning. So, they're related, technically.
Yeah, this is perfect. In that case, what magic? Yes, it happens. Sure.
Timmy's like, did I tell you about the one time I had an egg? Crazy. Wow. Let me tell you all about the time I had an egg.
Wait, Jens?
Where'd that go,
Jens, what are you
way?
Doing here?
Crazy.
Okay, no more.
We need Fizea, Jens, and Demi in a room.
I'm just going to continue keeping an eye on the three creatures in the water just in case they come close.
Yep, that's fine. Absolutely. Good plan. Holding on to the bless on your companions. Yep. Okay. If that's the end of your go, great. It's now the what we have lovingly called Cygulls. thanks, Arch. They don't look like seagulls. I need you to know this, please. You can imagine what you want. Like, I'm happy for that, but these are not seagulls.
We can't see them, so.
Yeah, you can't. They're blurry. Whatever.
Censorship.
These aren't... it's a different bird, guys. These are tits.
Oh. We're being attacked by
tits. You just went straight for that one, didn't you, Neil?
It's a bird, V. Don't be immature.
I know. We used to have blue tits behind where I lived.
Why were they so down?
Maybe they're swallows.
Okay.
Oh, no. It got worse.
I know who they're all attacking now.
Are they flying penguins? Puffins.
No,
they're puffins.
They're puffins. The Lundi make their attack. No, the creatures make their attack. There are five of them because Squash managed to kill one.
Good job.
Well, actually, a mixture of Squash and Lafayette managed to kill one. Sure.
We helped.
Yeah, he helped.
Brain powers.
One of the ones which hasn't been attacked yet, hasn't been affected by this psychic blast of energy, flies towards Fizea. Now that it's closer and in your face, you see that this kind of as they momentarily stop and pull out their weapon, you see that they are tiny little humanoid creatures with very vast wings.
Oh.
They're wearing these kind of like leatherish clothing, which covers some of their body, and the one in front of you is wearing red. I actually have all the colours written down here. And you see it pull out its tiny little dagger. You see it spit onto the dagger, and you see its other hand reach for you as it claws at your face. For 23 versus your armor class.
Yeah.
You take 5 damage.
Oh, no.
It seconds. As it's momentarily, you see its form, you see its very angry, unhappy face as it reaches forward and stabs you with the dagger. For a 19 versus your armor class.
Yes.
And you take 10 piercing damage.
No.
Sorry. As it pulls its dagger back again, it slashes forward for the last of its multi-attack. For a 14 versus your armor class.
No.
Oh, that's good. That's lucky for you. As it kind of like is there and in your face, you see a second one kind of flying over the top of it.
Sorry, can I still... Wrath of the Storm as a reaction? Is that a thing?
Oh! If it's a reaction, absolutely yeah. You can.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Oh. Click. Okay, as you are attacked by these tiny little hands, this tiny little dagger, and as it goes for it again, the elements around you, the storm that is all around you, comes to help in aid in your plight, as it has to make a dexterity saving throw from your Wrath of the Storm.
Elizabeth, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Is
this what you call a honeymoon?
Blimey. That is a 16. I need to find out what your saving throw is on this.
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to know what I'm rolling against. Like, I got a 16, but I don't know what your...
It's your spell safety, see?
It's a 15. God fucking damn it.
That's half damage, then.
15 DC. Yeah, I think so. Okay, in that case, I need you to roll 2d8 for me, please.
8.
Oh, perfect.
Die!
Zap.
Okay, no, it won't use its thing. Okay. It takes 8 damage as it goes to attack you on the third one. As it misses, this charge, this bolt of lightning just comes off of like the part where it just skids past you, and it electrocutes it, and you see that kind of like flash. Okay, that was the first one's going. The second one flies over the top of its now slightly electrocuted body. This one's wearing kind of like blue leathers, and you see exactly almost identical features, except that this one's kind of wearing like blues and reds rather than just straight red. And this one will also do a multi-attack. It's going to do the same 3 things.
No.
So it'll go at you with the dagger first.
And this time from behind
for
me.
For a 25 versus your armor class.
I did not mean to click that.
Guess it's just clicking shit.
Stop it! Stop hitting me!
No, I thought there's this tiny little 3 at the end. I thought I needed to edit it, but instead it clicked.
Oh no! Don't worry about okay. it. Like we'll keep a track of how many times you use it. And you take 7 slashing, 7 piercing damage from the dagger.
No.
13 versus your armor class. I know is a fail as it goes to try and strike your face with its tiny little claw. And you see light glinting off of like this viscous fluid which is on the dagger as it spits on it. For 15 versus your armor class.
No.
Saved again. All right, that's those two. The one that's only partially damaged will fly straight towards Laffian's face. And it will do the same 3 things.
No.
So.
Don't do that.
Natural 1, fail.
Great.
As it goes to dagger at the side of your face, it just completely goes wide and then tries to backhand you with a claw.
Rude.
Yep. For 16 versus your karma class.
That would have hit if not for the Shield of Faith, which makes it not work.
Well, it would have.
Have you tied yourself to the thing?
And you see
it
spit on the dagger.
Do you still get your... Do you still get to add your dex to your check if you've tied yourself to the ship and can't
move? I'm not
move?
Bound to the mast. I had a tether.
No, not like,
not
okay.
like a...
Yeah. Okay.
I think he had
like
a tether.
I thought you legitimately tied your waist to the thing.
No.
To keep from falling off.
What an elite Odysseus move.
No, have you ever seen... what was the fucking movie? Treasure Planet?
Yeah.
It's that. He basically has that rope tied to himself as an anchor so that he doesn't get fucking yeeted off the side of the boat.
Okay, 20 versus your armor class.
20 versus my armor class. You know that would work.
Okay, great.
Except I'm going to use my teleporty doohickey.
You teleport doohickey, then you are untethered.
That's fine. I'm just gonna... Where is...
Okay.
Actually, because it didn't look like it was hitting that hard on Fazea. I'll take the hit. I'll save the set points.
Okay. You were warned. You take 7 piercing damage, and I need you to make a con save, please.
Okay. 7, you said?
Yep.
Okay, and con save. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. Nope, sorry, hold on.
You can roll.
Yep.
Yeah.
Physical dice, come here.
You can roll saves.
Alright.
Come here.
Satine, bless the dice. Consider it blessed. Is Zoltana within range?
Yes.
Zoltana, what's your aura?
My aura is a good 4? Question.
Yeah.
It's a 4-a.
3? 4?
Oh, I thought you said Sephora. I was like, what? No, that's not what I said. What are you talking about?
No.
Yeah, it's a 4.
4, okay. So that is 21.
Yep. Then you save. You resist the effects of this really nasty-ass poison.
That wasn't very nice.
Okay. The other two, which are a little bit more severely damaged, they make their way upwards. Squash, they will be in range and are in your face, but they can't attack you this round because they have used too much of their movement.
All right, so they're in
but
my
you
face,
see these two tiny little creatures holding tiny little daggers. As soon as you spot them, like you notice them for what they are, they go back into that blurry state, and it's exactly the same for the others who are face to face with these creatures. Okay. It is now the term of the three things in the water. They use their move to get to the edge of the boat, and they use the rest of the move to begin to climb up. Fazea?
Yes.
I need you to make a strength saving throw, please.
Strength?
Yes, please.
Saving throw.
Oh, no. Nope, sorry, charisma. My bad. Sorry, charisma.
Huh?
How strong is your charisma?
13.
13.
Zoltana aura or too far?
I did get fair blessing.
Okay, good enough for me. Close enough. But on a 17, no. You managed to overcome the sound of these very beautiful voices. They seem to be calling and whispering your name, working them into the songs and the melodies of their... of what they are. It's very alluring, and for just the briefest moment, you consider reaching out and helping them on board when you realise, oh no, this is not good, as you see their hair beginning to flail around and whip out towards you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so you're fine from that. You don't ever have to roll that shit again. Laughing you will do shortly.
Never again.
You also notice Vizier.
Never in my entire life.
Nope, you're resistant to it. Like, once you pass it once, you don't need to do it again for 24 hours.
Oh, I thought for the rest
Vizier
of my life.
And Squash. Yeah, no. Unfortunately, the sirens will always call you, my friends. Squash and Vizier, you notice that there are 3-4 more of them coming in off of the island and entering the water. They are some distance off, and hopefully your sailor companions will not be interrupted. So you're probably gonna be okay, maybe? Question mark? So long as they don't get destroyed. Okay, that was basically all 3 of them. You resisted the first one, so let's have a big aura. All right, Zoltana. You see the heads of... Well, as you know, Zoltani, you notice these small kind of like blurry creatures that temporarily turn for the briefest of moments into these tall, small, tiny humanoid figures with big wings. They all become blurry again. Some of them have flown upwards towards Squash and the rest of them are in Fazia or Laffian's face. You also notice these kind of black tendrils that are reaching up from the side of the boat, but you can't see exactly what they are right now.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
You said that there's one in Fazia's face.
Oh yeah, yep.
I'm gonna go after that guy, or gal, or non-binary pal, whatever they want to identify, whatever they identify as. They're getting attacked. That's okay. True equality. So I have 2 attacks.
Yep.
Because of my extra attack. And obviously, I'm going to go into a Divine Wrath, Rage. I'm going to turn Barbarian on.
Nice. Zoltana Smash.
Yeah, exactly. Zoltana Smash. I can't cast spells while I'm raging, but that doesn't matter. Whatever. So, the first is a 26 to hit.
Oh, yeah. That definitely hits. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Attacking one of the tiny little flying creatures is at disadvantage.
Okay, well, so then that one's 16 to hit.
Okay, it actually just hits.
And the second one's an 18 to hit.
Yeah, that one also barely hits, but yes. Yeah, that's fine. Perfect.
That's 42 damage total.
Oh, thank you for being better at math than me.
Sorry, I just... habit.
No, that was genuine. I'm thank you for doing that, because that would have taken me like a solid 5 minutes of everyone being silent while I tried to remember what numbers are.
So you basically approach one of the ones that is in Fezea's face. As you kind of like slash through the air, you think maybe you've missed, but you catch them just on the very ends, very sides of the of Calimon. And you hear it cry out in pain, and you see these black tendrils like kind of wiggle in the direction of the crying small humanoid winged creature that is totally not a Seagull.
Seagulls.
You see the tendrils react to that.
Wait, what okay. Tendrils? What tendrils where?
The kind of for you and for Zoltana, you would see them as like these kind of like black tendrils, but for Zia would know them to be basically the hair of the creatures that are climbing up the side of the boat.
Oh, that's creepy.
You basically just see tentacle monster over the side of the board.
V, are they Medusa mermaid things?
Not saying.
Cthulhu mermaids.
Oh, you can't listen.
Medumaids? Look. Medumaids?
Medumaids? No, I'm not telling you anything like this. All right. So, on round 20. Initiative count 20. Surprise, lair action.
No.
What lair?
The ocean is their lair.
This is our boat. Fuck off.
Welcome to my lair, bitches.
Action initiative is 20. Okay, I need all of you to please make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, no.
I am not within aura of Sultana.
You are way up in the fucking air.
You are
air.
Not.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Sorry.
Roll 21.
fuck you, Squash.
I'm going to use a point of luck. To okay, re-roll yeah. that, because that was a 5. I'm just gonna
yep.
use one of my luck points, because I don't want to... Please be better. That's much better. Okay, 13 plus 1, so 14 plus Zoltana, so 18.
How much is Zoltana's aura? 4?
4.
Four.
Four.
Okay, so okay. I have 16.
Alright,
Use my luck points already.
Sorry. We're all doing con saving throws?
Yes, please. It's the lair action.
Why? Arch, why have you given me this curse?
Because I rolled a fucking nat 1 on a death saving throw. I don't want to goddamn hear it.
You know, I'm mad. Do I have to roll a 1 on a on a saving throw so that now it'll like then it'll go to Neil or something?
Casey, if we reach 300 episodes, on the 300th episode, if you're still cursed, talk to V.
Okay.
This is 100, almost 150 episodes of shit.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody who got an 18 or lower,
no.
You have failed. 19 or above, you have succeeded.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I had a 20-something. Right. There's a lot.
So right. How much damage am I taking with that 9?
Let me just roll it. Okay, if you failed, you received 20 points of psychic damage.
I'm resistant.
And you are stunned.
Stunned?
Yes.
20 points?
Yes.
Okay.
And you are stunned. If you succeeded, you take 10 points and are not stunned.
Stunned. Son of a bitch.
At the end of Sultana's go, you hear the song of these creatures amplified in your brains, no matter where you are on the sea, no matter where you are on this boat. It goes through the wood itself, and it's one of those melodies that just make you stop and listen. It's beautiful, captivating, and oh, so dangerous.
Before we cut... Okay. Doesn't matter. We could bring this up in the start of the next episode or whatever. You probably forgot your hashtag blessed during your saving throw earlier, Arch.
Fuck!
Didn't you hit like 17?
Yes!
You're
yes,
right.
Yes, roll it!
I had an 18.
This could be difference between life and death.
No matter what, it would count.
You need to get... Yeah. In that case, yes, you are not stunned. You only took half damage and half again because you're resistant.
Okay, and in that case, it's...
Good recall.
Half of half, so I only take 5 damage.
Yep.
And I'm not
good
stunned.
Recall,
oh, good call.
Aether, good recall.
Okay. Good thing I'm still recording, so that's still on the record.
You're right, it's the, it's aptly named Swobold. Right, how you doing? How you doing? Just, want to say a quick couple of words, in the middle of this battle. We're kind of, moving stuff around. We found, like, half a moment. Do not like these siren things. Don't appreciate him. Nah, me either. I mean, luckily we're both kind of like, yeah. Anyway, we want to say a quick shout out to one of the new patrons, Katie. Thank you very much for your patronage. You helped keep this ship sailing forward. You helped keep it full of supplies, and the both of us appreciate it. In fact, all of us do. Thank you very much. If you listen out to the end of this battle, you should hear an ad by the League of Ultimate Questing. Seemed to be really nice guys when we came across them, so we give them our Swobold thumb of approval. Yes, flex, do it. Other than that, we just got to say, apparently there's a giveaway coming. Episode 150, announcement information on what that's going to be. The wonderful voice of Fazea, Kessie, has drawn some beautiful art. So we'll tell you in episode 150. Well, we won't. We'll be says, nah, we won't, bruv. We won't be here. But the other folks will. They'll be around. They'll tell you all about it, how to enter it, exactly the deets and all that good stuff. Well, we better get back to this battle. We can't leave Sultana on her own because, you know, we stick together. 3 guns with a real powerhouse on this ship, so we got to stick together. All right, that's bye from me, and it's bye from me. Have a good week. Bye.
Greetings, fantasy fans and adventure aficionados. I'm your host, Kip Gilligan. To my left is the legendary Stormclad Thundertongue.
Now who in the hell's put sleeves on my suit?
Join us every Monday to watch teams of heroes rise through the ranks of the League of Ultimate Questing.
We're serving up a double-decker high fantasy bloodsport burger with all the comedy fixins and no napkins. Bring a bib, because things are going to get messy. Oh, yeah!
Visit slapdashstudios.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are available. No dungeon too deep, no quest too questionable. This is the League of Ultimate Questing.
My name is Tal'Kadar. I'm the party barbarian. We've been adventuring for a long time, and sometimes I can't keep my rage up as long as I used to. I was diagnosed with erectile dysfunction. It affects 2 out of 5 barbarians my age. That's when I discovered Viagra. Longer, more satisfying rage is for me and my opponent. I'm always ready when my friends need me to bring the fury.
Ask your party cleric if Viagra is right for you. Contact an apothecary for any rages lasting more than 4 hours. We keep you raging hard on the battlefield.
Viagra, my anger will not be silenced.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. 6 adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet. As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.